Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1102. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. We'll read the verses responsively. The 10th verse is the text verse. And may we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And may we pray. And Father, we ask for thy special help. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for the things that we've heard already, the things that we've experienced, for these reports of good things happening because of the ministry, the testimony, and the example of this church. We pray for your help now, that thou wouldst bless in a very special way this hour of preaching. Bless with thy power, please, in Jesus' name, amen.
Ms. Colson, was that already written, or did you write that, or? Who wrote it? I announced one time that years ago, and that I could preach on Mary Had a Little Lamb, but it was already in a book or something. Blair, that's sweet, isn't it? Next Sunday night we're going to have one for the devils. We call Baba Black Sheep, and so I'll sing that one. That's right. Oh, that's cute. Tonight I'm going to ouch they have back there, and tonight I want to speak very calmly and not real preachy on the subject, the Son of Man, the Son of God and the Son of Man. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our Father, bless now our speaking from thy book about thy Son, in a special way during this Christmas season. Amen. In the Godhead, there is both deity and humanity. And as I said this morning in talking about this message, not only is there both deity and humanity in the Godhead, but there always has been both deity and humanity in the Godhead. You say, somebody like man? No, man is partly like God. Well, God wasn't made like us. We were made like him. And there always will be in the Godhead both deity and humanity. Nothing quite shows this as plainly as the scripture in 1 Timothy 2:5, where God reminds us there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Who is it that's interceding for us in heaven tonight? The man, Christ Jesus. There has always been and always will be and is tonight humanity in deity and in the Trinity. Our God is both human and divine. And when I say human, I don't mean with the frailties and weaknesses that we have. I'm talking about our human natures. Our God is both human and divine. Now, the loss of humanness in our God means the loss of divineness in our God. And the loss of either takes away the true God and leaves you with idolatry. Because God is God, deity, and God is human. If you take away the humanity of God as the Son of Man, you have nothing but an impersonal, omnipotent, powerful God. You take away the omnipotence and power and deity of God, you have and become like the liberals. You have nothing left but a wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed substitute for God. If your God is not deity, you don't have the true God. If you go to a church that does not believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God, then you do not worship the true and the living God. You can sing all you want to sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," but you're not singing it about the true God, because our Savior, virgin-born, sinless Son of God. But on the other hand, you do not have the true God if you take away the humanity of Jesus. You know what I need? I need the same thing you need. I need somebody that's powerful enough to keep this whole universe running on schedule. And somebody that's personal enough to take care of me. And that's why He is both. He came as both the Son of God and the Son of Man. That is why we can sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And then sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." That's why we can sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him as Lord of all." And the next breath sing, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine." Why? He's the Son of God. All hail the power of Jesus' name. He's the Son of Man. "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine." He's the Son of God. "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." He's the Son of Man. "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." That's why we can sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." In the next breath, sing, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." That's why we can sing, "How great Thou art," and then sing in the next breath, "Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." I thought about this while I was thinking about this message. And I God is such a personal God that the better you get to know Him, the harder it is to realize that He's God. The better you get to know Him, the more personal He becomes, the harder it is to realize that He's God. As God, as the Son of God, He created the moon, the sun, and the stars. But as the Son of Man, He walked in Eden's garden and fellowshiped with His creation. As the Son of God, He parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the Israelites marched over on dry ground. As God, He gave the manna from heaven to cover the ground as the hoary frost of the morning. And as man, He argued with Moses. You sometimes see how the omnipotent God and Moses sort of fuss a little bit with each other, and you'll see something of the humanity of God. God said, "Moses, I'm going to..." No, Moses said, "God, these rebellious Israelites, won't you kill them?" Oh, God said, "No, I love them. I love them. I can't kill them." And a little while later, God would say, "Moses, get out of the way. I want to kill all these Israelites." And Moses would say, "Don't you do it, Lord. Don't do it." Somebody said, if Moses had ever gotten right with God, there wouldn't be any human race left on the face of the earth. And one time, God said to Moses, "Moses, you dwelt here long enough. It's time you leave now. Take the people and march on." And Moses said, "Okay, God, come go with us." And God said, "Moses, I haven't got time to go with you. I'm busy. I got a whole universe to operate. I got to keep the sun rising in the morning and setting in the evening. I got to keep the stars in place. I got millions of people to feed. I got things to do. I've got time to lead one little old race across the wilderness." And Moses said, "You don't go, I don't go." Then God said, "Now, wait a minute, Moses. You don't understand how busy I am. I've got a whole universe to keep going here. And tell what I'll do, Moses. I'll send an angel." Moses said, "I don't even know the name of the angel. If you think I'm going to take a trip with an angel, I don't even know his name. You're mistaken. I'm not going." God said, Moses, I can't go. He said, I want you to know that if you don't go, I don't go. God said, okay, I guess I better go then. I'm saying that in that little story of crossing of the Red Sea, pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, manna from heaven, water miraculously coming from the smitten rock of Horeb, you have the very God of gods. But as that water was being gushing forth from Horeb's rock, and as that manna was coming every morning from heaven to cover the ground, as little one-a-day vitamin tablets covering the ground for God's people to live on for 40 years, as that was going on, the sweet humanity of God and being man was revealed in his relationship with Moses. As God, he raised Lazarus from the dead. As the Son of Man, he sat in the home of Mary and Martha and enjoyed Martha's cornbread, okra, and turnip greens. And enjoyed even more than that the fellowship with Mary. As the Son of God, he beckons me to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as the Son of Man, he beckons me to pray, Our Father, my Father, which art in heaven. As the Son of God, he's called the Mighty God. As the Son of Man, he's called Wonderful and Counselor. As God, he joins Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration and sees the great sneak preview of the coming kingdom. As Moses and Elijah come to speak with him concerning his coming death. And as they have that little kingdom preview there on Tabor's Mount of Transfiguration. As God, Jesus is transfigured as the Son of God. And as the Son of Man, he comes to that same Apostle Peter and says, Lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Jesus, thou knowest that I love you. Peter, lovest thou me? Now, you don't see that just in the English, but what he was saying, the two words for love, the word for agape, which means a deep, abiding love, and the word phileo, which means a fondness. Jesus was saying, Peter, you agape me, you deeply love me. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I'm fond of you. I think a tear may have escaped his eye and invaded the dirt beneath as he said, Peter, lovest thou me deeply? Oh, yes, Lord, thou knowest I'm fond of you. Jesus said, Peter, don't you love me deeply? As man, he hungered for love. As the Son of God, he drives out the money changers, gets the whips, and drives the money changers from the temple. And yet in that same, almost the same hour, he comes to little children who wanted to get to him. And the apostle said, he's busy, leave him alone. Jesus said, oh no. Suffer the little children. Forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what you need tonight. Let me tell you what I have to offer you. You need a God who can keep the universe in order. You need a God who can make an oak. You need a God who can send the snowflakes. You need a God who can make the mountains of Colorado. You need a God who can dot Minnesota with 10,000 lakes. You need a God that can streak a rainbow across the sky to remind you of a promise He made 6,000 years ago. You need a God that by His mighty arm can hold the world in place. You need a God that can speak during Joshua's battle and say, Son, you just stand still for an hour. We got more time to fight, need more sunlight, more daylight. You need a mighty God, everlasting Father, but I would say something else you need. You need a God to know when you're broke. You need a God to hear the sigh when you're tired and weary. You need a God to be by your side. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. As God, the Son of God, He restores blind Bartimaeus' vision on the Jericho road as he's marching with his face set like a flint toward Jerusalem and Calvary. But in the same breath, nearly, that reaches out and restores Bartimaeus' sight, heals his blind eyes, He sees a little run of a fellow up a tree and says, I want to eat with you today, if you don't mind. Little Zacchaeus runs down out of the tree, and Jesus goes to his house and enjoys eating his squash and collard greens and buttermilk and in fellowships with him and saves both Zacchaeus and his wife and his household. As the Son of God, he rolled the stone away. As the Son of Man, he said to Magdalene, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, that's a little nickname she called him, means master, master. Like you'd, somebody might call me the boss man. The deaf call me that. I mean the big boss. That's what I am. Don't forget that, too, by the way. And as God, he rolled the stone away, and as the Son of God, the grave could not hold him, and death could not defeat him, and Satan could not bind him. And up from the grave he arose as God. But as man, he took time to go to Mary and say, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. As the Son of God, he ascended to heaven, defying gravity. And as man, he sits on the right hand of God as my mediator, pleading my case. As the Son of God, he holds the universe in his hand. But as man, the Son of Man, he delights when John leans on his breast. As the Son of God, he sent fire from heaven for Elijah to consume the sacrifice and prove the prophets of Baal that the Lord, He is God. And a mighty demonstration of God's power came from heaven for the mighty man Elijah. But as man, Elijah got a little upset, a little worried, a little scared, a little discouraged. God said to an angel, go down and put a little cake on the ground there. I've got a little overwrought prophet I need to feed for a while. As God, his feet walked on the water, and as man, he used water to wash his disciples' feet. You remember the story? How he took a basin of water and girded himself with a towel and bent down to wash the feet of the disciples. As God, we're to call him the everlasting Father. But as Son of Man, he tells us in Romans chapter 8 to call him our Abba, Father. What's the word Abba? It's the word Papa. Daddy. Maybe you called your father Daddy or Papa or Pop. That's what he said. He said, I am the everlasting Father. Never was a time when I was not. Never will be a time when I am not. I am the Creator of the universe. And as God, the worlds belong to me. And I made them from nothing. He said, call me Papa. Call me Daddy. As God, he called his friend back from the grave. But as man, he wept at the grave before he called him back. As the Son of God, he rose from the dead. But as man, I love this, he stopped when his grave clothes fell off. He stopped to fold his grave clothes. I like that. I bet some of you women wish your husbands had become the Son of Man. But when they came and found the grave empty and the stone was rolled away. Stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so they could see he was out. He came through the stone, but there were the grave clothes folded neatly. What a tender thing. As God, he said, whom say men that I am? As the Son of God, he said, doom to me and say that I am. And they said, some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. Some say one of the prophets. Maybe some even say John the Baptist. And as the Son of Man, he said, whom say ye that I am? Don't you think he knew? Huh? I remember that little poster. I saw at O'Hara Field for the first time. I'll never forget it. I love it. Every once in a while, I still see it. It's got a little boy and a little girl on it. I think it's a little boy doing the talking. And he says, tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, whom say, as the Son of God, whom say men that I am? Some Elijah, some one of the prophets, some Jeremiah. Who you think I am? knew what they were going to say. He wanted to hear it. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." As the Son of God, he was unrecognizable by the Emmaus disciples. But as the Son of Man, in one of the sweetest little demonstrations of humanity in all the Bible, often I've used it. He was so powerful as in his resurrection body, they didn't even recognize him as Jesus. And while they walked and he taught them, their hearts burned within them as he taught the Word of God, like only the living resurrected Christ could do. And then he got to the end of the journey and they were home. And they said, "Lord, won't you come eat supper with us?" And he said, the Bible said, he made as if he would go a little farther. Isn't that sweet? Did you ever, were you ever at somebody's house and it came time to eat and they said, "Why don't you stay for supper?" And you said, "Oh, no. No, I've got to go. I don't know where I'll eat, but I must go." And they said, "Oh, we want you." He said, "Okay, I'll stay. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. Aren't you glad you have an omnipotent God? Aren't you glad you have the everlasting Father? Aren't you glad the Creator of the universe knows you personally? As God, wise men came with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But as a man, humble shepherds came with nothing but praise in their hands. As the Son of God, he became incarnate. And as man, he came as a baby in a manger. As the Son of God, he lived above sin. But as a man and the Son of Man, he worked as a carpenter and was in all points tempted. You ever wonder what Jesus did when he hit his finger with a hammer? Huh? I know what I said. I said, "Dirty bricker, back a pack of lumber, botcha, slatter rip." But, or whatever that means, stands for. But, did you ever wonder? Aren't you glad your Savior, the mighty God, didn't come as a president of the First National Bank? Come to think of it, we could use a little help along that line. Aren't you glad he didn't come as a mighty king to sit on a throne the first time? Aren't you glad he didn't come as a mighty powerful statesman or the president of the United States? Aren't you glad that the God that holds the sun and makes it come forth like a bride to the altar in the morning and set in the evening in order to make room for the moon to come and give us its glory and the stars to be seen and made visible? Aren't you glad the God that hung the stars like a chandelier in the heavens? Aren't you glad that God was in all points tempted like as we? And he came as an humble carpenter in the carpenter shop. As the Son of God, he lived above sin and offered himself on Calvary. As the Son of Man, he told John to care for his mother. One of the sweetest demonstrations in all the Bible to me. Calvary, this is it. This is what it's all about. Calvary. Calvary, into which all the rivers of history pour and where all the streams of prophecy originate. Calvary. Up there on the cross, that middle one, the one who looks not like the others, that one with the look of heaven on his face, even though he's suffering the pangs of hell, that one justifying us soon by his resurrection. Our propitiation. Every great doctrine in the Bible centers around what's going on there on Calvary. Shh. He opens his mouth. He's about to speak. I wonder what the first thing he's going to say will be. I think I know. He's going to tell us something about the coming kingdom. No. What will be the first thing in this great event of all of time? What'll be the thing he says? I know. He'll tell us something about the great doctrine of predestination. No. No. Shh. Let's hear what he says. Let's get our pens and take notes so we can write down for all of history, or posterity, what he says. He opens his mouth. John, take care, Mama. These nail-scarred hands, or nail-pierced hands, have provided for in the carpenter shop of Nazareth. John, Daddy's, Joseph's gone now. John, take care, Mama. Mama! Mama, you go home with John. I'll not be coming home. I'll be going home in 72 hours. But I'll not be coming back home. Now, Mama, I want you to go with John. And John, you promise me now you'll take good care of Mama. Isn't that sweet? Aren't you glad you have a Savior like that? Aren't you glad you have a Savior that can cause the sun to rise in the morning and at the same time provide your breakfast? Aren't you glad you have a God who can keep the heavens in place at night? At the same time, make your pillow for you and keep it soft. As God, the Son of God, He made the sun to stand still for Joshua. And as the Son of Man, He wearied beneath its noontime heat. As the Son of God, He created the stars. But as the Son of Man, He memorized every star's name and calls every star by name. As the Son of God, He created the birds of the air. And as the Son of Man, He notes the fall of every bird and determines when that bird will fall. As God, He creates the raven. And as man, He sees that the raven is adequately fed. As God, He is the living water. As the Son of Man, He thirsted by Sychar's well. As the Son of God, He's the bread of life. As the Son of Man, He hungered by the sea. As the Son of God, He dries our tears. And as the Son of Man, He sheds His. As the Son of God, He goes to Hades to unlock its doors and turn paradise loose so all the Old Testament saints can go to heaven with Him. And as the Son of Man leans over to a thief and says, I need somebody to take the trip with me. You want to go? Son of God, He prepares a home in the heavens for man. And as the Son of Man, He had no place to lay His head. As the Son of God, He protects you and keeps you in His hand. And as the Son of Man, He hungers for your attention. As the Son of God, He comes to you on behalf of God and tries to get you to come to God through Him. Son of Man, He comes to God on behalf of you and intercedes as your attorney, your lawyer, your advocate, your intercessor, your daysman. As the Son of God, He is high and holy and lifted up. As the Son of Man, He is humble and personal. As God, He sends the storms, and as man, He stays with you through the storm that He sends. As God, He will judge the world. But as man, as soon as the world is judged, He'll wipe all tears from our eyes. To think He offers us both omnipotence and submission. He offers us both omnipresence and loneliness. He offers us both omniscience and fellowship. He offers us both perfection and mercy. He offers us both holiness and long-suffering. He offers us both deity and humanity. And now I'm coming to a close, may I say this. Hear me carefully. Because He is God, and because He is man, He has two needs from us. Are you listening? He has two things He needs from us. First, He needs adoration as the mighty God. He needs worship. He needs homage. He needs praise. He needs honor. He needs to realize His majesty. He needs us to make Him feel more God-like. That's why He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And He needs that from you. But as man, He needs your tender love. He needs you to tell Him how powerful He is. At the same time, He needs you to lean on His breast. He needs you to look up to the glory land and say, How great Thou art! And then to snuggle up to Him in prayer and say, My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. You know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, one of our daughters, maybe Cindy, because she's here more, she'll say, Dad, you're a great preacher. I don't mind that at all. And then, a little later maybe next week or tomorrow, she'll snuggle underneath my arm and say, Daddy, I love you. You're a good Christian. I love you, Daddy. I need them both. So does God. Ask a question. How much adoration is He getting from you? How long has it been since you got alone with Him and told Him how great He is? He needs it. As God, He needs adoration. As man, He needs sympathy. As God, He needs worship. As man, He needs a personal relationship with you. Look at the heavens as David did. Gaze at the North Star. Gaze at the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. Ah, the moon was pretty tonight. I drove around some, and after I watched the sun set, and I watched it till it was gone all the way beneath the earth, and made it promise before it left that it'd come back tomorrow morning. And it did make me that promise. But I watched the sun set. As I looked over that way, it sets in the west, for those of you that are just freshmen in Howells Anderson College. And it rises in the east, for those of you that never got up that early. But I watched the sunset tonight, as I do often, or this afternoon. I watched it set. And I kept watching it, and I kept watching it till finally it disappeared. Played peekaboo a minute or two. In fact, a time or two, it jumped back up a little bit, and then seemed to, and then went down. And then as soon as I saw the last ray of the sun, I turned over this way, and there was the moon. And I said to God, You are a wonderful God, omnipotent, all-powerful, my God, my Father, my Creator, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never ceasing. And then push the button on 97.1 FM and listen to some good classical music. Drove back. And as I listened to it, I said, as I went to one little spot where I love to drive through, I said, I love you. You know I love you. That's what God wants me to do. He wants me to adore Him as the Son of God, to love Him as the Son of Man. He wants me to exalt Him as the Creator, yet tenderly lean upon His breast as my friend. And that's why we can sing, A mighty fortress is our God. And then we can sing, What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That's the Savior I offer you tonight. That's the God that comes and knocks on your heart's door and says, Let me come in. That's the God who lives in my breast tonight. And that's the God who comes and offers Himself to you. A mighty Creator of the universe. And a tender, loving Savior. The one who, when He speaks, the earth cracks at His orders and quakes at His command. The one who speaks and hands down a command and the lightning flashes across the sky. The one who uses lightning as a sword and thunder as a reminder of His power. The one who can speak and heavens come into being. That mighty God is also my best friend. Sing it. Sing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God. I preached to 12,000 people that night before. 12,000 people. Giant convention. I got back home. I sat beside Cindy when she was just a little girl. I said to Cindy, I preached to 12,000 people last night. She said, but you cut my meat up. And I grinned and I said,